We're in this series that I'm really excited about. The series is Why We Do What We Do, which doesn't sound like it's really significant maybe on the outside, but it is so important that we understand these things because it talks about and it deals with why we act and why we behave as we do, individually and collectively. Because what happens is our behaviors reflect what is important to us. Your personal behaviors reflect what is important to you. So before we get into that, one of the things I've got to set up so we understand the whole idea is we've been dealing with our actions. And what is it that actually defines your actions personally? And we've talked about these different things. I want to remind you because they build. And what we do, what we're looking at today is a reflection of this information I'm about to give you. Your actions are defined by three things, basically. And that is the first one is the standard that you choose to live by. And all of us have a standard that we choose to live by. It's a code of behavior, it's our moral compass, a code of ethics, if you want, whatever it is. And the reason that's so important is because whatever your moral compass is, whatever your standard is, it gives you permission to act as you do. So if your standard is popular opinion, if your standard is what society says is good, then your behavior is going to reflect it. It gives you permission to act that way. Our actions are defined by the vision that we choose to live out. Your actions are defined by the vision that you choose to live out, the vision for your life. As a church, our vision is to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. That's not a slogan that we paint on the wall. It's not something that we just put in the bulletin. It's not, or on your notes or whatever, wherever we put it. That has to be something that each one of us live out because you and I are the church. So if God gives us a vision as a church to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship, guess what? That doesn't just happen on Sunday. Because what it does, and the reason why our vision is so important, is because a vision gives you a purpose to live out, not just on Sunday. A vision gives you a purpose to live out every single day of your life. It ties you to the collective group that you belong to in the church body. We belong to the general church, the worldwide church, but you are also a part of this small church body. And it ties us to that, how you participate in that purpose. Our actions are also defined by the values that we choose to live with. And our values are beliefs that establish our behaviors. They are principles that establish priorities in our behaviors. They are the why we do what we do. It's one thing to say creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. It's one thing to say that, but why do we do that? Those come from our values. And values give you priorities to live with. It tells you what's important. What behaviors in your life are really important. And they're important because they're tied to God's values, what God values. So when we understand all these things, we make our behavior a priority in our lives, and it changes how we live. And I want to say something really quick that I'm very proud of those that did this. But, you know, last week we talked about generosity, which is one of our values as a church, because God is generous. We don't just, we talked about why do we put money in the boxes? Why do we do that? I mean, we do that because God asked us to do that, first of all. But there's a generosity factor that allows us to be lived out. And sometimes if we don't know that that's important, if we don't know that that's a value, then we don't live it. And we just kind of do our life the way we want to do life. But when we understand why it's important, then we get to participate because it motivates us to do that. And last week we had people that have been attending church here for a long time, number of years, that have never given anything to this church that started. And I'm proud of you. That takes a step of faith. And if you happen to be here, that is a great thing. I'm proud of you. And I just say to all of us, keep that up because it's important. It's a value why we do what we do. So this week's value is equally as important as all the rest of them. And yet this is a value that many people seem to fight. And perhaps the reason that we fight it is because, first of all, most people don't like change. We know that. Second thing is you might be afraid of what change will bring. So those two things kind of cause people to have a bit of uncertainty and fight this next value. But here's the value, and that's this. Life change is a natural and necessary process for every Christ follower. That is a value. That is a necessity of our behavior. Life change is a natural and necessary process for every Christ follower. Now, I want that to just sink in. That means if you choose to follow Jesus, we're not allowed to stay as we are. We like how we are. How we are is important to us in a lot of ways. In fact, one of the things that we hear from people a lot is, I talked to somebody just this past week. They haven't been to the Quest in a long time. They moved out of state, and they were here. And one of the biggest things that just impacted their lives is that this was a church that accepted them. And they'd never been to a church that accepted them like this church accepted. We like to be accepted as we are. But as we are is not the goal. So when the Bible refers to life change or transformation should be an expected and anticipated ongoing experience for every one of us that choose to follow Jesus. And I hope that that is what it, I hope that you value this, and that we're going to look at this. So one of the things, if we break this down, because I want to make sure that you understand why we do what we do. This is about life change for us. Why do we have a next steps table? Why do we have that? What I mean, the next steps that are out there, what are they? There are baptism, there's a Bible study, there is the newbie lunch, there's connection groups, there's serving and getting on a team, and all these are next steps. Why do we have next steps? Because next steps lead us into life change. That's why we do what we do. Why do we hand out the brochures, the fill-ins for your talks? It's funny because sometimes people come in and they go, oh, you know, I don't need that. Now, I'm not saying you have to take one, okay? I'm not imposing that on you. But I just want you to know why we do what we do. We give handouts to everyone because we remember 60% more of what we write down than what we just listened to. So just listening to something, we forget as we leave. What we write down, we remember more. Plus, it gives you a hard copy of something that you can go over during the week. It gives you something that you can go over the information and allow it to get into you rather than just hearing it once and forgetting it, because as we process it over and over, guess what? It leads us to life change. The other thing is, why do we encourage people to attend connection groups? And you know, this is always one of those things where people say, no, I don't need connection groups. That's we're not imposing anything on you. Why do we keep offering it? Why do we feel that it is necessary? Because small groups, connection groups, lead us to life change. In fact, we believe that life change happens in circles, not rows. We believe that real life change happens in community, not in just sitting here listening. This is important. It's important for all of us. But life change happens. So I want you to understand, listen, we're not just creating things to make people busy. That's not the idea. We create things that are necessary because life change is necessary. So, in that, we need to know what transformation actually means. What does it look like? The word transformation is a Greek word that just means metamorphosis, and it's where what's what happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's when one thing becomes another thing. And that's how that applies even to us, that one thing, who we are before Christ, becomes something else after Christ. That is a normal and necessary expected behavior from every Christ follower. So when we hear that, what does that look? What does it look like? Romans 12:2 says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person. Let God bring a metamorphosis into your life that changes you from what you were to something different. See, God's desire is to change our lives. God is in the business of transforming lives. God did not send his son to die on the cross to allow us to be as we are. God didn't say, you know what, I'm going to send my son, I'm going to have him die on the cross for their sins, and they can remain as they are. We got to be careful because, listen, that kind of theology kind of works its way into communities and into churches all the time. Where people just say, you know what, I am okay as I am. If you're okay as you are, then there was no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. None of us are good as we are. So life change is normal and necessary for every Christ follower. And we want to know that, and we want to allow God to change us because we don't want to fight him. And if we don't understand that, then we will be fighting him. So one of the statements that we make at the church is we say, come as you are, but don't stay that way. And again, as we are is not the goal. So what happens is it kind of looks this way. We don't excuse our sin. We allow God to change it. That's a big thing. And I say this with love, respect, and I say this with as a pastor in understanding. Okay, I really come alongside of you and I understand, but I'm also leading you. And I want you to understand that it's real easy for us to excuse our sin because we know that God loves us. We're going to look at that in just a moment. We know that God loves us. So if God loves us, then I'm okay. We see no value in life change. So when we talk about transformation or life change or experiencing new life, or experiencing changed life, I should say. I want to make sure you understand, those are all the same terms, okay? Transformation, new life, experience the changed life, that's all the same terms. So life change, first of all, doesn't happen until we choose to follow Jesus. We can't initiate life change on our own. You can become religious, and your religious activities can make you a nice person, but it cannot bring you new life. It cannot change you. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So when we bring Jesus into our lives, what happens is God's Spirit takes up residence within us, and the Holy Spirit begins a changing process within us right from the start. This isn't like, I've seen it happen for a lot of people. People come to Christ, and I mean, they can drop addictions like, bam, like that. I mean, seriously, free. Hardcore addictions, and you've seen it too. They come to Christ and bam, it's gone. There's no desire for it anymore. I've seen other people that come to Christ and they struggle with their addiction. They struggle and they carry it for a long time. But over a process of time, they change and they lose the addiction. This isn't just about addiction, by the way. So Holy Spirit is working in that when we choose to follow Jesus. Life change doesn't happen until we allow God to make it happen. And again, we go back to Romans 12:2. It says, let God transform you into a new person. See, God is always leading us to a new and different life. But many times we're fighting God. We're not really willing to become the person that he wants us to be. And primarily it's because we don't know what that person is going to look like. We don't know. God's leading us into a change, but we're just not sure where that change is going to take us. And that bit of uncertainty that we have really causes us to be apprehensive, and we think, you know what, I don't know. I mean, listen, I've talked to a lot of people, and they say, I don't want to be a fanatic, as if that's what God's going to make you into. Well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being a fanatic. But the thing is, how we look at it, and we think that God is going to make us into something we don't want to be. That is an issue that we have to deal with. We have to understand that God is making us into something he wants us to be, and maybe the problem is we don't want to be what he wants us to be. So we've got to understand that. As long as if we're not allowing God to work in us, then we're fighting God. And as long as we're fighting God, change doesn't happen. So another one, life change doesn't happen until we desire it to happen. We have to really want to be changed. We can't expect just to show up and think that God is going to change us just because we show up. It's got to be a desire in our lives because God values free will. He values your free will. And he will never push you to do something outside of your free will. He will never force himself to do what you are not willing to do. So we have to want new life. Ephesians 4 says this, since then we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything connected with the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. And he says, get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately produces his character in you. But again, it's saying, do this, but you have to want this. So when we talk about transformation, it's important to know that life change is not about a better version of the old me. I think sometimes we think that that's what life change is about. God wants to improve the old me, as if the old me is good, you know? And that's not the case. We're not looking for improvements. That scripture says this, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. We tend to read the scripture this way. Those who become Christians become better people. That's not what it says. That's not what it implies. See, God is not making us better. He's making us new, brand new, totally different. Also, life change is not about more religion in me. Some people think that we have to get our act together before we come to God, and We have to get our act together before we come to church. We have to, you know, get our acts together. It becomes a matter of willpower, basically. Life change has nothing to do with religion. Religious behavior will make you a nice person, but only Christ can make you new. We got to understand that. That's a big difference. We think coming to church makes me new. No. Coming to church makes you a nice person. It can modify even your behavior, sometimes by guilt, sometimes by pressure, sometimes by the pressure of other people, you know, and we tend to act differently. And that's where we get these hypocrites, because we know to act differently here rather than at home or out in the neighborhood. And that's where we've missed it. If you become religious, you've missed the point, because religion just makes you nice, and only Jesus can make you brand new. Life change happens because of him, period. So when we talk about life change, I want to make sure that we understand a very important issue. What we're not talking about is life change. Life change is not about earning God's approval or forgiveness. Okay? Make sure you understand that. When we're talking about transformation, it is not talking about God's approval or forgiveness, because God loves you right now, right the way that you are. He loves you. And he will never love you any more than he does at this moment. Life change in you does not affect God's love for you. That's a good point, and if I'd have thought of that earlier, it'd been a fill-in. It's important for us to understand that. So I want to talk about these things so that there's no confusion. When we choose to follow Jesus, here's what happens. Because of God's approval and God's forgiveness and God's love, when we choose to follow Jesus, we accept Jesus' death as payment for our sin. Every one of us. We have to acknowledge that we have a sin problem. We have to accept the person that fixes that problem, and that person is Jesus. It's not me. It's not you. It's not coming to church. The person that fixes our sin problem is Jesus. Scripture tells us that every person is born into sin. It's our nature, and that sin makes us guilty before God. And we need something that actually fixes our sin problem. And God provided his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. I have to accept that. You have to accept that personally. Another scripture says that Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that freed us from our sins. And we can live a life that has God's approval. It's Jesus who did that. We have to personally accept that. And the reason that this is important is because we can't earn God's forgiveness. We can only accept it. So when I talk about life change this morning, and I don't want you to confuse anything to understand that God's approval or God's forgiveness is based on anything that I can do, anything that you can do. It is. We can't earn it. When we choose to follow Jesus, it calls us to repent of our sin. And to another thing, it's turning from one direction, that this is what my life is about, this is what's important, this is who I am. And now, this is what's important. So I'm making a turn. My life, you know, I am in charge. You know, my old Dave, man, he was angry and he was in charge and he was just, it wasn't pretty, and that's who I was. And then when I came to Christ, I had to make a choice and I had to repent of the old Dave's ways, and I had to turn this way. That's what repentance is. It's turning from one direction to another direction. It's willing to turn. The Bible says, now repent of your sin. Wiped away. Repentance is necessary for us. And the reason that this is important, the reason that repentance is important, is because we can't follow Jesus and do what we've always done. You can't follow Jesus and do what you used to do. That's the old life. That's the old person. Also, when we choose to follow Jesus, it calls us to confess our sins. And confession is acknowledging that we have a sin problem and asking God to forgive us. 1 John 1:9 says that God is faithful and reliable. If we confess our sins, he forgives them and cleanses us from everything that we've done wrong. And the reason that that is important for us, the reason that confession is important, is because relationship with God requires transparency. We have to come clean. You can't follow Jesus and live in secrecy. You can't think, hey, you know what, God's, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to deal with this. Whatever it is, I might have an addiction, I might be abusive, whatever it might be, but I'm not going to acknowledge this before God, and maybe he won't know. First of all, that's just stupid because God knows everything. But the truth is it doesn't allow us to come clean with God. That may not change right away, but at minimum, nothing changes that we don't acknowledge. So we have to say, God, I have this addiction, and I can't deal with it, but it needs to change. I know that, and I need you to change it. I need you to help me to change. We come clean and confess what we have going on in our life. We can't think that we're fooling God. The reason I mentioned that these things right up front is when we choose to follow Jesus, we do nothing to earn new life. Absolutely none of us. When you choose to follow Jesus, there's absolutely nothing you can do to earn new life. Scripture says that God saved you by grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So we accept God's gift that saves us, that gives us new life. You now have new purpose, new life, and a new future. And it was nothing that you did. It was all a gift, right? And we accept that gift that saves us. Salvation happens because of what Jesus did, not because of what we do. Understand that. We're talking about life change. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. And I want to make sure that we understand when we talk about this issue, salvation doesn't happen because of anything we've done. It happens because of what Jesus has already done. But also, attached to this is something else that's really important. It says this: we partner with God for a changed life. So while we do nothing to earn a new life, we partner with God for a changed life. Personal growth and life change requires our full attention. It requires commitment and dedication on our part to deal with ourselves. God is working within us, and we play a part in it. The truth is, as a result of God's work, we begin to experience life change, but it also depends on our daily choices. And so, in other words, God can prompt you to do something, and you can fight God and not do it. God's not going to make you do it. But God is prompting you because his promptings are leading you to life change. Now, if you say, hey, you know what? I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to do that. God's never going to force you to do that. But it will keep you from experiencing the change that God wants to bring in your life. See, the truth is, this is about our daily choices. Transformation is what God is doing in the lives of every Christ follower. From people in China, people in Russia, in Africa, New York, and even here in corrupt California, thank God, because we all need it. Philippians 1:6 says this, that I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. And what he's saying is this: God is changing you until Jesus comes back for you. The change process in our life is not just one time. The change process is ongoing, and the change process happens all through our lives. In fact, you're never going to be perfect until you get to heaven. And that's what we have to understand. This is a process. Life change is a process, not perfection. I'm not talking about being perfect, because that is a process that will lead us to become perfect at some day. We're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven, but we need to be making progress towards perfection. Otherwise, what we do is we say this, well, you know what, that's just who I am. And we excuse our sin and remain as we are. We're not making progress, we're just acknowledging, yeah, there's an issue, and you know what, I'm never going to be perfect, so I'll just accept it. That's not what Jesus came to do. It's a process, because life change is a process of becoming. But just what are we becoming? Romans 8:29. From the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son. That is the goal for all of us, to become like Christ. That's the goal of all of us. Am I becoming more like Jesus? And I want to be very careful with this, because I don't want this to become legalistic, but the goal of our lives is that we're acting like Jesus. But what does that really mean? What does becoming like Jesus really look like? Is it wearing a robe and sandals and walking around with long hair? And that's not the way that it looks. See, the process of life change begins when we choose to identify with Jesus. When we choose to associate ourselves with him, we either choose to be like and to be a part of the world, or we choose to be a part of Christ. You either choose to be in the family of God, or you choose not to be in the family of God. It's your choice. And all of us have this choice that we've got to make. We choose to fit into the world, or we choose to stand out from the world. So who is another question that kind of identifies your identity is who establishes the truth of your life? Who establishes what is truth in your life? Does the world tell you what is truth, or does Jesus tell you what is truth? We have to come to terms with this and say, you know what? The world doesn't define truth for me. Just because society and just because culture says that this is okay does not make it okay. Jesus says that this is not okay. So that has to become truth to me. You have to decide that. Another process for life change is this. Change happens because we surrender to God. If we're going to act like Jesus, then we need to live our lives daily surrendered to God, because that's exactly what Jesus did. And when we choose to surrender to God daily, what happens is it changes our attitudes, it changes our character. It's letting God have control, and that means when we let God have control of our lives, it means I'm not fighting God. When I surrender to God, I'm not exercising my will. I'm saying, God, what's your will? You recognize this from Jesus when he's in Gethsemane. He doesn't want to go to the cross. That's hard. But he says, not my will, but your will be done. That's a life of surrender. And God calls us to the very same thing. God's going to ask you to do things that you don't want to do. Because what he's asking you to do is to be different than the person that you're comfortable with being. Surrender calls us to say, okay, God, you know what? I may not understand what this looks like in the end, but I will trust you in the process. Another process of life change is this. Change happens when we learn obedience. That's the way that Jesus lived. He was obedient to God, obedient to the Father, even unto death. Hebrews 5:8 says that even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. See, what I want to encourage you and I want to remind us is this. When we're talking about life change and transformation, God gives us many things that enable us to experience life change. One of those is the Bible. Never in the time of history do we have access to the Word of God like we do today. But even having so much access to it, whether it's in written form or whether it's in digital form or however you might read the Bible, how do you read the Bible? Because here's the thing, we do not read the Bible to be informed, we read the Bible to be transformed. Many people read the Bible just to be informed. Like, man, I gotta learn more things, and I gotta understand this about God, and I gotta learn. That's not why we have the Bible. The Bible is given to us not to inform us, but to transform us. Why are we baptized? We're baptized because it's a step of obedience, not because it's convenient. We conform to God. We do not make God conform to us. We will always allow God and His Word to be the last word in our choices. These last two points are just really quick, and I want to make sure that we understand, because if we don't, if we're not allowing God to change us, we value life change because God values life change. We value life change because that's what God is working in all of us. But if we're not allowing God to change us, and we're not being transformed, we become rebellious. We start fighting God. We don't value what He values, and we don't allow what He wants to do in us because we don't value it. So what happens is fighting God over and over and over and over about the very same things becomes an act of rebellion. And over time, we no longer hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit and God dealing with us because we've hardened our hearts. That's why it's so dangerous, or not dangerous, but it's so important. Scripture says, today if you hear God's voice, today if you know the right thing to do, do it. Don't prolong it, because the longer you prolong it, the less you hear it. We don't want to become rebellious. And if we're not allowing God to change us, then we're becoming religious. If we're not living obedient lives, what happens is we will live to impress God and not rest in God. We will live our lives to earn His approval and not live as obedient children from His approval. Listen, I want you to understand something. I want us to get it. We can never, as a church, I'm saying, I don't care if you go to this church, and I don't care if you go to another church. I mean, I care. I want you to be here, obviously. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter if you go to this church or another church. If you go to a Christ-following church, these are the values that everybody follows, not because it's a rule or regulations, but because this is how we partner with God. This is how we open our heart and we say, okay, God, who I am is not good enough. Who I am is not the goal. I want to change. And I want to be exactly who you want me to be. I want to be candid with you. And I want you to understand that I understand the struggle. I understand that it's so much safer to be as you are. It's so much safer to just stay as you are. It's not easy to become what God is calling you to be. And most of us do not really believe that we can become what God wants us to be. See, whether you're an individual, whether you're new or whether you're old or whether you, whatever your place is, I mean, even if you're a pastor, early on in ministry, when I started ministry early on, I had an addiction that I could not break. Could not. And I felt like it eliminated me. I could not be a part of, and I hit it. And I hit it well. I hit it really well. I spent a lot of energy in my life hiding an addiction. Because not, first of all, I knew that God wanted to change me. That wasn't the issue. I didn't believe that God could change me. I didn't believe I could change. I could not see a different life. Could not. I did not know how I would even function without that. And that's why October 5th is always a huge day for me. It's not, I mean, like if you're alcoholic, it's your day of sobriety. But October 5th is the day that God said, hey, I want you to trust me. I want to help you become this. October 5th is the day that I took my first step. That's why when October 5th comes every year, it's a celebration of God's power. But I want to tell you something. God never forced it on me. And there, I had to partner with God. And every day I have to partner with God. I want you to understand that. See, when we say that God is in the business of life change, it's not a religious thing and it's not an easy thing. But God's saying, trust me, I'm with you. There are many people that are sober today because of God. They could attest to this. Mine was an alcohol, but it's the same thing. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. I want to encourage you with something, and I just want you to understand that who you are, you have God's love, and God will never love you any more than He loves you right now. But God has a plan for your life that looks nothing like who you are today. But it is in the natural, it is impossible. In the natural, you cannot even think that it is going to happen. But when you partner with God and you trust Him and you surrender and you learn to walk in obedience and you learn that we all these things and you start applying them, all of a sudden you come down to this place where years later you realize October 5th was a significant day. At least it was for me. At least it is for me. Are you taking steps towards life change? Are you letting God change you? Do you desire for God to change you? Listen, we value life change because God values life change. And the last thing we want to do is become rebellious or religious. It begins with relationship with God. If you don't have that, start that today. You talk to God and say, I want a relationship with you. I accept what Jesus did on the cross for my sins. And then you also say, God, I'm willing to partner with you. I'm willing to partner and allow you, though I may not know what the end looks like, I'm willing to trust you in the process. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts today to life change. We open our lives to new life. We open our lives to a changed life, to transformation, that we might in fact be changed into the image of your Son. We understand it's not perfection. We understand that it is a process. We understand that it might even have successes and failures. But Father, one thing we do understand is it calls us to trust you and it calls us to depend upon you. And today, as we sit here before you, you see us in our many different places. You see us in the places of just beginning. Or maybe it's that place where we're taking our first step. Or maybe it's that place where we're relying upon you for strength for the next step. Father, may we be a people that value life change because you desire to transform us. May we be open to that. May we desire for that to happen. Not in others as much as it is in us. We can't change others. But Father, help us to allow you to change us, to breathe new life, to be the people you want us to be so that we can be the church you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.